And let's dive into scripture. Guys, Easter is not a man-made thing. It was God's plan from the beginning. And even the title, Easter was provision. And I'm going to unpack that with us a little bit. And I'm going to start with unpacking it with question of, why do we open a savings account when we have a child? Okay, I know everyone doesn't necessarily do it, but in general, there's this thing of, I actually sat in the coffee shop the other day and I just heard two ladies speaking, and the one lady, I assumed was the grandma, sitting with the baby, the grandchild, and she was actually having a coffee with another mom and the baby. And the mom was telling the grandma of, yo, you open up a bank account for the child and you start putting in money there. So whenever it's the birthday, everyone who wants to give something can just EFT money into this bank account and you start saving up. So why do we do stuff like that? Why do we open a bank account for our child that like can't do anything, that's just lying there? Is it so that they can buy nappies? Is it so that they can go and spend it over the weekend at the mall? Obviously not, okay? That is savings for one day when they go and study, when they get married, when they want to buy a car, when they want to buy a house. It is provision for one day. It is not for the now. It is not for today. So the same goes for why do many people have a pension, okay? I'm saying that because everyone doesn't have a pension. But why in general does people have a pension or a provident fund or a whatever? Again, pension is not for today. It is for one day. It is provision for one day. And the whole story of Jesus is provision that was made for each one of us. The story of Jesus wasn't for him. It wasn't for that day. It was provision for each one of us to have a relationship with God. So God made provision. And this story takes a few turns along the way. So what I'm hoping to do and bring over today or this morning is, I'm hoping that we're going to dive into scriptures. We're going to read a bunch of scriptures. If you're making notes, I actually want to ask you to not try and keep up with all the scriptures, because it's going to take your attention away from the story. I've got all the scriptures here, and I'm more than willing to just give it to you afterwards. Okay, I'll even print it out for you. But if you're making, please don't try and keep up with all the scriptures. It's really going to take your attention away from the whole story and the heart of this morning. So I hope that's okay. If it's not okay and you want to keep on making notes, I'm also okay with that. It's like I told Anzinaela, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just asking you. So the story of Jesus didn't start in Bethlehem. It didn't start when he was born. It started way before that. And we're going to start the story in Ephesians, and then also, please take note, I'm not going to say, okay, Ephesians 1 and then John 1 and then Colossians 1. I'm going to read parts of the story just as a flow sometimes, and sometimes I'll stop and I'll give the scripture again. The scriptures are there. So just try and follow this morning. So in Ephesians, we read, even before he made the world, God loved us, that's us as well, and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The story of Jesus. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. God created everything through him. And that's through Jesus. So God created everything through Jesus. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities. And all things were created through him and for him. And this is a beautiful picture of God the Father. Also God the Creator, because he created everything by just speaking. But think of it this way. God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they were all there in the beginning, whenever that was. They've always been there. And God wanted to give his son something. Now, all the parents here, you would have an understanding of that. Sometimes, my son's birthday is coming up. He loves guns. He's having a gun party. He can't wait for it. And the other day, he tells his sister, "Yo, there's going to be one small gun on the cake and many big guns." Who's buying all the guns? But I want to give him a gun because that's what he wants for his birthday. I want to celebrate him and I want to give him something. God wanted to give Jesus something. So he gave him creation. He gave him everything. He made the universe, everything that we think we know of the universe, God gave that to Jesus as a present. And he went, here's something for you, my son. Jesus is the reason everything and everyone was and is created. So in Genesis, we pick up this story. God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. We were made in the image of God. Now God's image is perfect. So we were meant to be perfect. We messed it up. Adam messed it up. We're going to get to that part. We're not blaming him. We're taking responsibility because we are still messing it up as we go along. But we initially were made to be perfect in the image of God, meaning that we were meant to be faultless. There's a very fancy word in Ecclesiastes 7 verse 29. God created people to be virtuous. It means to have high moral standards. But they have each turned to follow their own downward path. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. I'm a sinner. And even before I was born, even before my parents were born, even before that, God had a plan to restore my downward path that I choose. I choose to follow this downward path. Just as I choose to turn to him and say, "Lord, I don't want to follow this downward path. I want to be virtuous. I want to have high moral standards because I'm creating your image." So God's plan, Jesus, the Word, which is Jesus, became flesh and dwelled among us. He went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So here, this is, well, probably not the first turn in the story, but it is a turn in the story. God created, he made creation as a present to Jesus. Then the creation messed it up. And God was, "It's okay. I still have a plan. You didn't mess up my plan." So Now Jesus is sent to earth. God decided that his son will now go and be with his present creation and men and in flesh. We're picking up in John 1, 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Jesus walking amongst the people and still rejected him. Walking, doing miracles and still went, you are blaspheming. You are not the Messiah. And here we sit today. We are celebrating Easter because we believe with our whole heart and we confess with our mouth that Jesus has been risen from the dead. We know that he is the Messiah. He is the one who brought redemption to us. Isaiah 53 verse 4. It becomes a little bit more heavy. Yet, it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. So here we start reading, we start realizing that as creation was given as a gift to Jesus, now God has turned the tables and he gave Jesus as a gift to creation, to us as humans. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull. There, they crucified him, and with him, two others, on each side of Jesus, Jesus in the middle. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And then, going back 3 days from where we are now, we celebrated the death of Jesus. Because we know that he is resurrected. That's why we can celebrate. And even one day when I pass away, my prayer and my hope is that you guys will celebrate the passing of my life. Because I will be resurrected with God. Mourn, it's okay. But celebrate. It must be a bigger celebration than the mourning time. Because my life here is short. And it's meaningless. It means nothing while I'm here. I try my best to testify. I try my best to share the gospel. I try my best to disciple people. But man, if it's not to show people towards Jesus, towards my Savior, it's meaningless. So in Luke 23, it was now about the 6th hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the 9th hour. And while the sun's light failed, the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. And I'm always taken, in Easter time for me, I'm always taken to that picture of the veil being torn. That for me is Easter time. That's my time with the Lord. Like even all of last week, like every time I open up a WhatsApp status or get a message, there's something Easter-like. I can't but to think of that veil that was torn, and was torn for a reason. It was so that each one of us can go into the most holy places, and that's to be with Christ. Guys, I don't think we get it. I think we miss it so much. That's why we miss Mark. Missing Mark, sinning. I think that's why we miss it so much. Because we don't get it. That Jesus died on the cross. Had all of our sins on his shoulders. He was blameless. He had nothing against him. But still, he carried all of our sins on him. In that moment. when he died. And he did it for one reason. And that was so that that veil could be torn so that we can be with God. Isaiah 53. He was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away, and we have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of all of us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It's not about just these few moments on earth. It's not about your birthday and your end day. It's not about this. It's about the eternal life we have after this. When Jesus was born, it wasn't about him walking on earth. It was about him going to be back with the Father. I mean, there are these turns that the present that was given to Jesus, the tables were turned and Jesus was given to creation as a gift. And then the gift or the creation that he was part of rejected him. Imagine that. Imagine walking into your own house and your dog sends you out. Or your cat. We can expect that from a cat, right? But think of that. Or even worse, the child that you brought into life, the one that you thought would welcome you home as the parent, closes the door in front of you. I do not know you. That's what creation did to Jesus. We were made through him, for him, says the word. But we rejected him. We did not receive him. And throughout all of these turns of the story of Jesus, it's not the ending, it's another turn. It's probably the best turn of this whole story. I'm saying it's not the end because we're not at the end yet. The end, the personal opinion, not going to debate it. It's my opinion. There is no end because after this life, I'm going into eternal life. We might see death as a end, but it's only the end of me being on earth. Then I'm continuing. I choose now where I continue, and I choose to continue it with the Lord. I choose to accept God as my Savior because he has given his only Son. Here's that scripture, Hebrews 10. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place, taking away all sacrifices because he was the ultimate sacrifice, taking away all the rituals because he was the last ritual. He was the last lamb that was slaughtered. Because that's what happened to him. He wasn't just punished to death. He was slaughtered. He was martyred. He was embarrassed. He was spit upon. Man. But 3 days later, guys. His words, I will build this temple in 3 days. So in Romans 5, the beautiful scripture of the contrast of the first Adam and the last Adam. Yes, Adam's one sin, not Eve's, Adam's sin brings condemnation for everyone. But Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. God, I know all of us sitting here this morning, we know one another, and that's beautiful, and we celebrate this together as a family this morning, but it's not just meant for us. We have accepted this, and I trust each one of us sitting here this morning have accepted this, and if you haven't, then you have to make right with the Lord. And we can do that afterwards. There's time for that, and there's a place for that. This is the place. This is the time for that. Every day is the time for that. But this is for everyone to be in right standing with the Lord. It's not just for a certain bunch of people. It's not just for the people who has been coming to church. It's not just for the people who are members of a church. It's not just for the people who has grown up in church. It's for everyone. I was a student, and I was part of campus fellowship. That was the ministry on campus. And every day my heart broke as I would walk in the street, as I would walk to campus, walk back home, and see people. Because in general, it's easy to reach out to the poor. It's easy to reach out to those who have nothing. And my heart broke for them as well. But my heart broke for the businessmen that was walking across the street in their suits, climbing into their buckies, climbing into their sports cars. And the question that rose in my head was reaching out to them. They've got a family. They need Jesus just as much as the guy who's sleeping under the tree. Because everyone needs Jesus. To be in right standing with God is for everyone. No matter how much you have or how little you have. No matter your circumstances, no matter your past. And we need to understand as we give our lives to Him, as we stand in right with God, there's a love for His church that comes with it. I fall in love, not just with God, not just with the Word, but I fall in love with His bride, and His bride is the church. And I start living my life, giving it fully to His bride. Because as I love onto His bride, He accepts the love. Make it personal, guys. Who's sitting next to you this morning? If someone comes and love on that person, those of you or us who are married, if someone loves on your spouse in any way, what do you feel towards that person? Anger? Your child? If someone comes and gives a high five to your child, do you reject that person? No, you feel something towards that person. You build a relationship with that person because of love that they are showing, affection that they are showing to someone close to you. And there's no one closer to Christ than His bride. He loves His bride. And His bride is not just one person sitting at home. His love is not just us meeting here as Josh and Kimberly. It's not just Josh Jane. It's not just 412. We need to get it. We're missing it. As a church, we're missing it, guys. We are missing the love that God has for His bride. He doesn't just love onto His bride on a Sunday morning when there's a preach going on or a sermon. He doesn't just love on His bride whenever you feel like it and I. He loves onto His bride every single day, much more than we could ever imagine. I miss it with Lisa so many times. I miss how much He loves her. And I miss how much He loves His bride. So coming together on a Wednesday evening and on a Sunday morning is not enough. It's not, because it's not about that. It's about loving His bride every single day. Let's pick up the story again. Sorry. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, halfway through. Christ died for our sins just as the scriptures said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as scriptures said. And then he was seen by Cephas or Peter and by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both dead and the living. He is Christ of my life right now, and I believe that one day, when I'm not here on earth anymore, he will still be Christ of my life. And 1 Thessalonians 5, Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive, when he returns, we can live with him forever. Jesus, the cross, the tomb that's empty, was provision for us, for every single person. So we might not have visitors this morning, but man, do I have hope that we will have visitors next week Sunday, and the Sunday after that, and the Sunday after that, so that people will turn to him, so that people will be in right standing with Christ. And something I realized last week was, or a question I had was, what was Jesus? Because we live our lives devoted faithfully to the Lord. And he says, the Lord says, there will be a reward for us one day. And my question was, in a quiet time, Lord, what was Jesus' reward? I mean, he suffered. He died on a cross. But he lived more than devoted. I mean, he was blameless. What was his reward? And in that moment, I felt that God told me his reward was us giving our lives to him. So he died on the cross so that we can just follow our own downward paths? No. No, man. Surely not. Surely he didn't die on the cross so that we can still be tripped up by all of our temptations every single day. Surely he didn't die on a cross so that we can still choose to sin, be addicted to whatever we are addicted to, jump a stop street, to disobey the Father. Surely he didn't die for that. Maybe for the world, for those who didn't choose him, for those who still don't choose him, because they are still blinded. But man, if you're sitting here today and you've given your life to the Lord, he died on the cross so that we can have a relationship with him as bride. And that relationship is a testimony of what we have. Not of what we have done, not of what I did and now I'm this angel. No, still missing the mark. Yes, the Lord saved me out of pornography. Yes, the Lord saved me out of swearing. Yes, the Lord saved me out of having so many worldly friends that I do not know my way. Yes, he did. That's part of my testimony. But it's not my story. It's God's story. My testimony shows towards him, not towards myself. And what did he save me into? Oh, what a beautiful picture. He saved me into family. He saved me into a life with purpose. He saved me into living fully devoted to him. And I've asked a few people to share a part of their testimony, not the whole stories, I've asked people this morning to come and share what God is for them and why. And some of them might share one word or a sentence or two sentences. But this story is about what Jesus has done so that we can have a relationship with God. So I've asked a bunch of guys, John, Priscilla, I've written down the names here. Shaul, you guys can stop, all just get a little bit closer and we can just pass along the mic. John, you're the closest, so let's start.
Yeah, when Aaron sent me the message originally, I kind of thought about it for a while and it's like, you know what, isn't the Lord to me? You know, He's everything, honestly. I mean, like, He's my wisdom when I'm a fool. He's a father when I need a father. He's my friend when I need a friend. And yeah, like, what would we be without Him? Like, the question actually took me aback for a while. Like, yo, like, what isn't He to me? Where would I be really without Him? And yeah, it really made me think back of what I was before I met Him. And yeah, just thankful that He is everything to me.
When Aaron sent me the message, my immediate response was, yes, that was easy. I don't need to prepare for this at all. And then I started thinking about it a bit. And then this morning again, but my immediate thought went, yes, when I got saved, yeah, He was my Savior. And He saved me. And I was so grateful. And then He became a friend. And then He became a teacher. And then there's so many different aspects as my relationship with God or with Jesus went on, my relationship with Him also changed in that way. He's still my Savior. He's still all these things. But then I went deeper and I thought, like, okay, but let's get serious now about that. Because when I'm out in the trials and I'm running on the mountain, then yes, He's the best trial creator. Yes, Lord, yes, You can create the trial. This is so lekker. And then thank You, Jesus, for the opportunity. But deep in its core, Jesus is my Lord. And I do nothing without Him. When I need to buy a house, He's my Lord. I go to Him. Looking for a church, He's Lord. I go to Him. My wife, He's the Lord over that. I went to Him before I went to I got my wife. And so in anything, He is the most important, but He is Lord of my life. And I've realized that whether I like it or not, whether I know Him or I don't, He will still be Lord of my life. And I will someday face Him. And I want to face Him as a brother. I want to face Him as a child. I want to face Him as somebody that knows Him. So out of that place, He rules my life. Yeah.
To me, God, when He died on the cross, He died for my sins. He died for my past. And He died for everything that I was not on that stage. So for me, He's my healer. If I got pain in my back, I just prayed and said, God, just heal me from my head to my toes. And He healed me on that day. And for God, I prayed for my children, and I prayed that He will connect with Him. And I know we will. And I know we will. And God is my helper. If I ask Him and anything, He will answer me. He will answer me. And in my work situation, in everything, He will answer me. I just ask Him and He will answer me. And for me is, God died for me and for my life. So I can be poured out to someone who needs God in a bad situation.
I also felt like, Shaul, I didn't need to prepare. For me, God supernaturally found me. I wasn't born into a Christian family, but God found me. And at the age of 6, was my first encounter with the Lord. And I'm just so grateful that supernaturally through everything, through being actually in a godless family, God found me. And that is what He is to me. And that's why I will hold on to Him, because it was supernatural that He actually found me. Amen.
I think what everybody said, that is what God is to me as well. The one thing I also like, you know what, sometimes I'm disobedient, and I really am grateful when God comes and corrects me. Because for me, if I just go on with, you know, just think what I'm doing is right, and if God doesn't come to correct me, I'll be lost. And that is like, it says the Holy Spirit, He will come alongside you. And for me, it's almost like God is alongside me, and I'm inclining my ear to Him, whether it's in good times or in bad times, that I know I can lean upon God because He's there for me. He's always been there. When I've lost friends and families, when I ask questions, He comes and He just puts His arm around me. And I know I can say to people that, you know what, this is what God has done for me. I can only speak about what He's done for me because I have that relationship with Him. And when people say like, yeah, but why is God not doing it for me? I can just say, God, you show them who you are. And for me, it's just, if I have to look back, also at where I was, where I am now, and I can just see God's faithfulness over my life. Not just over my life, over my family's life. And I can see how He works. And for me, it's like, God, if you can do it for me, show that person who you are. Open their eyes of understanding. Open their hearts so that they can see you. And like what Aaron says, it's like, you know, the veil has been torn. If the veil hasn't been torn, I would have still been in my darkness. I can enter, you know, even if I say, God, I'm so sorry for this, because I know I've got access to God. Even in the time that I fail Him, I've got access to God, and He will correct me, He will show me the way. And it's just amazing that there was a song that Mervyn worship, and it's like, I want to be the first to your throne and the last to leave. And that song that one time was just like, God, I want to be there. I want to be first to your throne. I want to worship you. I want to be excited about you. And I mean, like, we're going through this memorable time of Jesus' crucifixion. And it's like, God, am I still excited? Am I still excited for what you've done on the cross? Am I still praising you the way I should praise you? And then God comes and he speaks to me, and it's like, I want to be excited like the world is excited about things. We're excited about sports. I mean, we are a sports family, so we go on. But I sometimes say, God, am I like so free? Am I screaming? If I'm like David, I sometimes become undignified, and the kids will say, Mommy, no, behave. And like when we were in Bloom, there's people around us because I was like screaming, going on about the F1 and all that. But that is what God wants us to be in His presence, become undignified for Him. And sometimes I say, yo, I feel I want to go on my knees. But what is Aaron's going to think? What is this person's going to think? But I think God wants us to not think about what others think, but what He thinks. And I am still a work in progress. You can say I've been saved for so many times, and I thank God that He doesn't give me yesterday's bread. Yeah. It gives me today's bread. And I see something about God every day. And for me, that is like, God, never withhold that from me. Because if I don't see what you are doing, and it's small things that I'm thinking, maybe it's small, but when I think again, I'm thinking, sure, God, that is just who you are. And for me, God is that person that I can run to Him. He comes alongside me. He corrects me. He loves me. And that is everything. And if I need to take the good and the bad, I need to take the good times and the correction times and everything, because God is God and He is a holy God and He is jealous for His bride. And I was really like thinking last year at the conference when Pete says that he's coming back for a bride that is without spot or wrinkle. And I mean, sometimes if I've just get something and I like really like thought, "Your God, without spot or wrinkle," and it's like a spot or a wrinkle. I don't want to go with creased clothes out. I don't want to, if I miss on something, I go and I change. So I want to encourage us this morning, just think about spot or wrinkle, because God wants a spotless bride. And I need to, a lot of time, I say, "God, show that spots in my life that's going to prevent me from being that spotless bride." And I think it's a huge ask in today's world. But I think God wouldn't have asked it if it wasn't possible. So for me, it is that person. God is that person that always leads and guides me into what He wants me to do. And I know I said a lot.
Môre, sorry, my Engelse aksent klink nes Afrikaans, so I'm al vas. Ja, Evan en Shaul, Erns my gevra, toe onmiddellik gedink, ek gaan nie dit kan doen nie, en ek het tot vanoggend nog steeds gedink, ek kan doen nie. Ja, die Here het vir my die laaste paar weke so amazing deurgekom, so wat hy gevra het van wat beteken Jesus en op die kruis vir ons, en vir my het dit die reality geraak, wat dit was nog altyd, maar dit was baie persoonlik die laaste paar weke, en net om te besef, dat sonder Jesus is die einde, en wat Erns vanoggend gesê het, dis nie dit nie, en net om te dink, Jesus het gegaan, en hy het vir ons op die kruis gesterf, vir ons sondes, vir elkeen van ons, en het was my net so mooi, hoe hy die laaste week met my gewerk het, en net gewys het, dat deur sy liefde, kan ons aangaan, en deur sy liefde bring hy vertroosting, en het het so amazingly persoonlik geraak, en dieselfde wat Erns vanoggend gesê, dit druk so op my hart, om te dink, daar is soveel mense daar buitenkant, wat dit nie het nie, wat een vrees het vir die dood, wat een vrees het vir as die einde kom, en eindelijk het Jesus reeds vir ons die antwoord gegee, en dit is wat hy van ons vra, is om uit te gaan, en daai, kan ek sê, die joy te gaan verkondig, om te sê, daar is een ander manier, daar is een ander pad, en ek wil net ook dit sê, soos, dit was my vak moeilik gewees, Katie het een matriek afskeid gehad, en my ma kon nie aan gewees het nie, maar toe ek al staan, en ek denk, Jesus het die kind, dit het niks in my te baie nie, as ek al groot gemaakt het, sou het hier so uitgedraaid het, dit kan ek julle garantie, maar Jesus het daar amazingly groot gemaakt, ek het drie prachtige kinders, maar Katie het baie mooier gelijk woensdag, maar dit was vir my net so amazing om te staan, en te weet, daai is Jesus, al die eer kom hom toe, en ek het daar gestaan en gedink, hoeveel mense is hier, wat actually vandag vir Jesus die eer gee, vir elke kind wat daar elkaar uitklim, en ons mis dit, en Erns het so mooi gesê, alles, ons kan niks doen nie, nie een ding kan ons doen nie, maar deur Jesus, sy liefde, sy genade, en dit is wat het vir my beteken, dank jy.
We, I think our only response that we can have is to glorify Him, like Willie did now. It's not because of him and Ankia's well-doing. It's about what God has done, about what Jesus has done in their daughter's life. And I wanna bring this to an end. That with a question, obviously, if I were to stand alone,
Jesus,
versus, I'm not going to do the following one, but if I would get Jacques and Charles, Andrea and Evan, and all of us start screaming Jesus together, what would be louder? What would be, what would have a bigger impact? Should I answer it? Should I make it clear for us? The bigger crowd will have a bigger impact. Not because I can't have an impact. I can. And I will stand here and I will scream my lungs out for Jesus as long as I should. or as long as I could, with the hope that someone will hear me, with the hope that someone will see him. But man, oh man, if we do it together, what bigger impact could we not have? The word speaks of being ambassadors. I'm going to close with this scripture, 2 Corinthians. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us, not through you, not through me, not through each individual, through us, as we gather together as his bride, as his church. It says, we speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Everything was made through him. And that story took such a turn, so that the only way to God is through him, through Jesus. So man, if we get together as a church, if we have a braai, it's fine. Have unsaved friends. But be wise with that. Be wise with how you spend your time. Watch how you use your mouth. Check your thoughts. Oh man. Because surely Jesus didn't die on a cross for us to choose our downward paths. Let's close our eyes. Lord, as we briefly heard a few testimonies,